Lord, thank you for each of these ladies that are here today. And Lord, would you just encourage them and give us all that we need from your word today that'll make a difference, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, looking at the character traits of Jesus and applying them to our lives. Obviously, our goal is to live his life. And as you look at the characteristics of the Lord, it does very much reveal where we are spiritually. And the book, of course, has these different characteristics in alphabetical order. And we looked at focusing last week, which is a tremendous key to the Christian life, and now one that gets right down to where we live. And this is right in alphabetical order, forgiving. And so let's look at this, which affects all of us on a regular basis. As she says, the three words, I forgive you, sometimes are very hard to say, but honestly are easier to say than to really mean and to do. And so it is something that we have to look at more deeply. It is very important to ask for forgiveness, but we need to truly ask for forgiveness, and we need to have the kind of life after we ask for forgiveness that will be biblical. Now, ever since sin has come into the world, there have been injustices. I mean, all the way along. We have this naive idea that we deserve everything to go well for us. And normally, the older you get, the more you get over that naivety. Life is not easy. We live in a sin-cursed earth, and it's such a joy to know the Lord, and life becomes a huge blessing when we're walking with God. But the reality is that we are always going to have things that are a problem. But the greatest trials that we face are not necessarily health trials, although those can be very major, or other kind of calamities. Our big trials are people trials. When somebody hurts us, that's really where it gets serious in our own mind and heart. And that is why the Bible addresses this matter of forgiveness, because it is an ongoing issue. I hate to tell you, ladies, life ain't fair. And yet, if we would just be honest with ourselves, we're just sinners saved by grace if we're saved. And we don't really deserve anything. And if we can get the right attitude about who we are in light of who God is, that can really help us. But the Lord Jesus, certainly, what an example. What an example of forgiveness. And let's look at some of the characteristics here today. The Lord Jesus, of course, was at the very beginning of giving forgiveness. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord didn't just let them go without being helped. They had to, of course, leave the perfect Garden of Eden. But at the opening of the Garden of Eden, where the mighty angels were, what did God do? And I believe it's probably the Lord Jesus himself. He made a sacrifice, and you have Adam and Eve clothed there in the garden as a picture of the clothing of the righteousness of Christ because of what Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, would do. So you see forgiveness right at the very beginning of man's existence. Personally, I don't think it was very long between creation and man's fall. And so you had very soon in our relationship with God the fact that God did forgive. And it's a beautiful picture, and it shows you what is his desire to forgive. He took the action. They didn't know what to do. He took the action. He made the sacrifice. He showed them. And of course, he had already planned to come and to die for us. And so this was a beautiful just decision on his part to do this. Let me make a side comment on this. Did you know that the matter of modesty of men and women is tied directly to this matter of the covering of Christ? You remember, once sin came into the world, what did man know instinctively that he had to do? He had to cover himself, right? And so it has always been throughout history, those who understand that Christ's righteousness covers us and that we cannot stand before him on our own, they have always covered themselves. Pagans do not, in all the different cultures, all the different societies, but Christians always have. That's why you've had modesty in the Judeo-Christian realm of culture and civilization. But we as believers need to realize that it's not just the matter of sensuality. It is the matter of a picture that we cannot stand unclothed before a God. It's a picture that we know that we are clothed in his righteousness. So the matter of modesty is not just some little application of trying to be careful. It goes much deeper into our relationship with God. And so in our culture today, that's just been lost. But look at what's happened. The more our culture has become humanistic, the more immodest it's become. Isn't that true? Have you seen, you just look at the history of the 1900s. And so it's gotten worse and worse the more pagan we are in our thought process. So I think it's important for us to mention that at times because that's a touchy area, but it shouldn't be a touchy area. That one's clear. And that's not a side little application. That's a big deal. And so it's important for us to be very careful, men and women, not just ladies, but all the way around. We've lost that today. All right. But the Lord Jesus initiated the forgiveness. And the normal response is, as she mentions, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Now, isn't that the normal instinctive fleshly response? Now, we know that's not right, but it is the pattern of the world. And so forgiveness is not the natural response. And so, ladies, it's so important with the inevitable injustices that will happen to you to be walking in the Spirit to counteract the natural response of, I want to get even, or I'm not going to forgive you, or I hope something bad happens to you. That is the natural response, and it's a sad response, but it is out of our sinful nature. But when we are Spirit-filled, God will immediately counteract that. And a lot of damage cannot ever happen if we're walking with the Lord. When I am doing premarriage counseling, I will tell the couple that you've got to really be walking with the Lord, because when the inevitable tensions come, and maybe something is said that shouldn't be said, or body language that shouldn't be there, or whatever, you've got to learn, if you're the one on the receiving end of it, to be so walking with the Lord that you can have very quick revival. In other words, a right response so that this can be communicated through and you can go ahead, not start digging a hole with the issues or whatever they are. And so we've got to be very sober. In Mark chapter 11, when speaking of, in fact, you might want to turn there, one of the great passages on the matter of having faith in the Lord and then that in prayer. This is the matter of the cursing of the fig tree, which was God's promise that the religious forces of that day would be overcome, specifically talking about Judaism. And so the fig tree was cursed, and Peter brought that to attention when they went by it. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. These are great promises. I pray them every morning. But the next verse, you better make sure you not leave off. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So this is very important for us to understand that our relationship with the Lord and our prayer life is directly related to what condition is our heart in toward the inevitable problems that we will face. And so this matter of forgiveness should be an ongoing part of your walk with God. It ought to be something you clearly understand. It ought to be something that you realize will rise up, and you must put it down immediately so that you can have a steady life of a very strong communication with God in prayer. And so that is helpful to look at that. Now, we need to then realize that our relationship with anyone should be love. Love your neighbor as yourself. What are the two great commandments that encompass all 10 commandments according to the Lord? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy might. The second commandment is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Are all neighbors lovable?
No.
Got some good response on that. All right. Will neighbors sometime hurt you? Yes, as far as emotionally. And so we are to realize, as John 13 says, that this new commandment that he has given his disciples is that we have love for one another. So here's what you got to get. People are not for you, you are for people. My relationships are not for meeting my needs, relationships are for me meeting their needs. Whether it be the intense relationship of marriage, family, extended family, church family, or community. Every person you see is not there for you. Now, God will use them for you, but you can't be having that expectation. You've got to understand that when you're right with God, you are God's channel, you are God's means to be able to show forth His love. That really helps folks. If you realize, I'm going to inevitably have dumb things happen to me. From a simple thing of a person yelling at me on the road, to somebody not treating me right in the store, to an extended family member hurting me, to within my own family having some things that hurt me, to having another Christian not be wise and saying and doing some things that they ought not do. That's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. So our purpose is to meet their needs rather than have our own way. That is why, ladies, it's unbelievable that God says that we're to do good to our enemies. We are to do good to those that hurt us. So if you can get this, that it is God wants us to forgive. It's not the natural thing to do. The natural thing to do is want to get even. But if we are spirit-filled, we will understand that our purpose in life is not to have our needs met, but to let God use us to meet the needs of others. We need to understand that we will inevitably be wronged, but that is just an opportunity to be a blessing. In fact, did you know, not in every case, but in a number of cases where you are done wrong and you're able to do good, that turns out to be a great ministry. In fact, it can be some of the deepest ministry you have, certainly within the home. That's going to happen. So you know that if you're going to have a good ministry, then you are going to have to be willing to forgive immediately. And some of your best conversations, some of your best relationship building will come around times when you don't think it's been fair. And same thing with children and so forth. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6. The Lord Jesus is very clear here. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak, coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do also to them also. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them, or hope of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. Whoa. Well, that one hits everything, doesn't it? You know, we often forget what the Lord has said. If you go over with me to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. This is reiterated in the epistles here. And the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, writes in verse 18 of chapter 12 of Romans, this great passage on your body being a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, folks, these are not small little passages. They're very clear. The Lord Jesus himself, and then clearly in the life that is lived based upon what Christ has done for us, this is the kind of attitude we are going to have. Now, let me just say this. As I read that, did anything rise up in you a little bit? That doesn't seem fair. We're not talking about fairness. We're talking about God loving the world. And we're going to end, of course, looking at Christ. Nothing was fair for him. And we are Christians. We are his representative. We are to do greater works than him. Our life is a living sacrifice. It is not our own. We are bought with a price. I'm telling you, folks, when it comes down to forgiveness, you can't be a half-baked Christian. You can't just sort of want to serve the Lord. I mean, you've got to be walking with God, because the natural inclination is not going to be to really forgive and release it. It only can happen by the power of God. So don't say, well, I'm not a very forgiving person. Nobody is. We're all in the same boat. We got the same disease, folks. Okay? We're self-centered to the core without Christ, right? Now just be honest. And so to forgive is God, not us. Just remember, as Christ has forgiven us, Ephesians 4 says, so we're to forgive others also. You have been forgiven. You sit here today, if you're a believer, and you're not under the judgment of God for your sins. And if you don't know the Lord as Savior, you need to trust him very quickly, because you need that forgiveness, as all of us do. But it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. And so it's very important for us to understand that we should do good. So, I forgive you is a start. But what's the real proof of if we forgive somebody? We're not expecting anything in return. We're going to figure out how to be a blessing and to be a testimony. Many of you have heard my illustration of my grandmother. Now, my grandmother is the reason we're all, really the foundation for all of us, my family, walking with God. She truly walked with God. She had her sister-in-law live next door to her. And according to what my dad said, his aunt was just, didn't have everything there. You know, she just was unusual. And she did everything she could to make my grandmother miserable. I mean, she would pick the flowers out of her garden. She would pull up the vegetables out of her garden and use them herself without permission. She was constantly being negative about my grandfather and grandmother, and on it went. It wasn't really very good, you know. It was an ongoing thing. It's one thing to have an enemy. It's another thing to have the enemy live next door and then to be your sister-in-law. I mean, that's really bad. And so it was a bad situation. And so my father said he saw her do this. What she would do is when she saw it rise up in her, she'd go in and bake a pie and leave a pie there and talk and leave a note how much she loved her and so forth. And she would just constantly be doing things like that because she counteracted the natural impulse. And as a result of that, actually, my father and my grandfather were in many ways able to reach that couple before they died. And the Lord was able to do some things. But the big thing was my grandmother kept her heart. And she kept her faith. She kept walking in the Spirit. And as a result, we saw the Christ in her, which has affected generation after generation after generation. You know, that's amazing. Great, great grandchildren now being saved and wanting to go on for the Lord. It's an exciting thing when you do right. It does make a difference. Folks, every moment you have bitterness and unforgiveness, you're not walking with God. It's not worth it. It's not worth it for you. It's not worth it for the people around you. So do good. Isn't the Bible pretty specific about this? Do good. Think of something. Go the extra mile. They steal your coat, your cloak, give them your coat. Boy, that just goes against, you know, I deserve that back. Now, of course, we can't be taken advantage of, but the whole point is don't so own things and care about yourself that you lose someone else's soul. Yes, Joan? Well, that can happen. However, let me say that.
Is that a mistake?
Well, some situations it may not be appropriate at that point because they may not see that they've done wrong. If a person doesn't see they've done wrong, you've got to confront them in the wrong. If they're a brother or some relationship that you have, but if it's clear that they have wronged you, they know it. You can't release them and they can't get victory until they themselves respond and forgive you. In other words, you can keep them bound and not be able to have the free relationship that God wants. So I would say you do need to say, I forgive you, but it needs to be in the context of your love for them and saying it in a way that, you know, if they already know, you know, what that wasn't the right thing to do.
You take the pie and say, I forgive you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because they need freedom. They need freedom. So it is, I understand what you're saying. Some nuances of some situations are difficult because they have no clue. So they don't just come in and say, I forgive you. And they say, forgive me for what? In other words, it will probably.
They have no idea what.
Right, so you have to start with biblical confrontation, you know, to work, communication to work it out. Now, how often do you forgive? 70 times 7 and beyond. Okay. Oh, Peter did not like that. 7 seemed really too many times. Okay. Now, by the way, isn't that appropriate for ongoing relationships? 7 times would run out in a marriage pretty fast, wouldn't it? Or with kids. Or with people you're in a church family with. Or with people you... Oh, I tell you, though, on the job. You need more than 70 times 7, you know. I mean, some of you have had bosses that every day have been a problem. 365, but all the work days of the year. And I'm telling you, that has to be dealt with over and over and over. And so the Lord made it very clear. You know, isn't that a blessing? Now, I want you to get this. If you ever get frustrated with this, aren't you glad that today, if you haven't done right, you can say, Lord, would you forgive me? I confess my sin. And He will. Remember, He's the one that told us, which means He does it for us. If we truly confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He always will. I'm telling you, if there was a limit, I'd be in trouble. You with me? Well, we'd all be goners. But God forgives and forgives. And obviously, we want victory, and He has to forgive less and less. But the point is, what a joy to know that He forgives. But it's never, you never have the right not to forgive if you want to be Christ-like. And you got to, again, remember, who are we? Who are we? We're just but like everybody else. You know, we're on even ground at the cross. So that's a very important part. Well, let me just finish with this, and that is the fact that the greatest moment in history was when Jesus Christ was on the cross. He was treated beyond how I could describe. If I could describe it in the full way, it would make us all sick today, what Jesus Christ went through. And how mistreated He was. He never did anybody wrong. All He did was take care of people. And in that very crowd that cried out, crucified Him, were people that He had healed. People that He had touched. People that He had loved. See, the hardest situation, folks, is when you love somebody and then they hurt you. You give and they don't give back. But He hung on that cross in pain that I have no ability to describe. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He released them. And He was totally free in His spirit. He loved them, having loved them to the end. The greatest display of love is when He died on the cross. He did good to them that despitefully used. Every person there in that whole situation of the crucifixion, He died for. And the good news is, we know probably one of the soldiers at least was saved, and probably many more. And many of that crowd came to know the Lord as Savior. If He had had any, of course He couldn't have died for us if He had had any vengeance. He could have called 10,000 angels. His love was pure. It was never about Him. It was all about you. It was all about me. All you have to do is look at Christ and realize, how can I have this spirit? This is wrong. And I tell you right now, you may have been terribly hurt, terribly abused in the past. You may be going through a tough thing, but release it right now by the grace of God. Ask God to help you truly forgive and to have a spirit to want the best, and that can only come through the Lord. And let me say also, praying, we talk about the hour with God, it will change your heart if you will pray for people. You will develop a love that only God can give, and you'll be free in your heart. And then if you need to do some things, then do them under the leadership of the Lord. So it's an important truth, and as you discuss following your list there today, I trust that you will just really just look honestly at this, because we can fool ourselves. We think we have forgiven, but we've not. Yes? Because when that you've truly forgiven someone?
If you haven't, and you think you have.
If you have a rise in your soul when you think about the person? That's the main thing. You can actually think about the person and have a sweet spirit. Yes? I'm not the only one. That's good. All right. But you catch me on that, Serena, and we'll talk about it. So, yeah, freedom and a real joy in praying for someone. And you'll realize this is God. This isn't me. Now, tomorrow it may rise up in you again, and you got to do it all over again in your own heart. But that's why you got to be praying regularly. Keep free. You can see the person and not have a bad spirit. That's powerful. That's how people are reached. That's real Christianity. It's Jesus then coming through you. It's one of the most important subjects we could talk about. We could actually spend weeks on it. Yeah. All right. Lord bless you all.